First off, if let's just get a little exercise out of the way. You have your Bibles with you? We're going to look at some scriptures today. So I wanted to go ahead and get, if you could turn to three passages and save the place. The first passage is Philippians 3:10. You could turn to that. And we're in a series, Christian and. Today, thank you, Ian, for he kicked off the series last week, Christian and Masculinity. And we're looking forward to the rest of this as well. Today, it's Christian and Christ. The other title is Knowing Christ. So, the next passage to turn to, if you could mark, just put a place in your Bible. John chapter 14. That's Garrison. No, it's not. John chapter 14. Then the last is Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. I appreciate you doing that. It's important. If you have your Bible, if not, there's a Bible on the back table. It's important to try to follow along. And if you have a screen, I realize maybe you can't do that. That's okay. Those are not going away. We need to learn to navigate the good side of them. So, yeah. Anyway, I may sound a little different. Came down with laryngitis Thursday, and feeling pretty good. But anyway, that's why I couldn't sing. I was trying to save my voice. So you all pray for as we deliver the word of God here, and as you all come to the table. So we're going to open up. You don't have to turn there. We're going to go to. Philippians chapter 3 later, but I'm going to read that passage. In a minute, we'll be in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, so keep your place there. Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. First off, I just want to say it's old news to some of us, but to some of us, it may not be. God sent his Son so that we might know him and have a relationship with him. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship through knowing him. So, religion is man's attempt to get back to God. Christianity is where God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to get us. So, everything in your Christian life, that's what we're talking about here, Christian in Christ, everything about knowing him and experiencing him, everything about knowing his will depends on the quality of your love relationship with Christ. God created us for a love relationship. He did. That's why we're made. In Matthew 22:37, it says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So, the question is, do you love God with all your heart? God himself pursues a love relationship with you and me. He takes the initiative to bring you into this relationship. He created you for fellowship with him. That is, the purpose of your life is to fellowship with God. We have fellowship with God in prayer, reading and obeying His Word, serving Him and serving others. We have fellowship with Him even in pain and suffering. Often, we feel a closeness to God through pain and suffering that could have never been experienced. Truism? It has been said that God does His deepest work through the darkest of times. So we're going to look at three different heart experiences in the Bible today. Three biblical examples of knowing Christ. So we're going to start in Mark chapter 10. This is the rich young man. And here, I'm just going to tell you up front, just so you know, what's he talking about? This is the story of the rich young man. And here we see a divided heart. It says Mark 10:17, and as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" It's a good question. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud." Defraud. "Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing." We've got some company. I'm hearing voices. Are you all hearing voices? I know I'm a little under the weather, but I'm not that bad, right? It's always when you're reading the Word of God, the phone rings. The phone rings. The phone talks. All right. Let me take a drink. That's distracting me, but we'll be all right. Silence is golden, isn't it? Let's pick back up in verse 10:21. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So, back in Bible times, the rabbis taught by asking questions. They would ask a question, and the student would answer. They would start a verse, and the student would finish it. They would recite the end of a verse, and an advanced student would then say the first part of the verse. That's how they taught. And so often, you'll see Jesus asking questions. Jesus didn't at first address his question. We're always told it's not polite to answer a question with a question. Well, that's what he did, because he was wanting this young ruler to think about what he was saying. He said, "Why do you call me good? There is none good but God." Jesus was starting to reveal himself as God. And he was wanting him to come to that point. So Jesus knew that the rich young man was coming to him for the wrong reason. But Jesus loved him, invited him, follow him. It says in verse 21, "And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'Follow me.'" Jesus was inviting him to come. The truth is, I've said this before, we all come to God for the wrong reason, and we find Him when we respond to His invitation. Now, how does this apply? How can we apply this to us? In Luke 14:26, it says, "If anyone come to me and does not hate his own father, or hate his own mother and wife and children and brother and sister, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. He cannot follow me." Charles Spurgeon says it like this, interprets this, breaks this down. Our Lord does not use the word hate in our common acceptance of the term, for no man would hate his own life. He means that the love of all these must be secondary to the love we bear for Christ. Compared with our love to our Lord, all lower loves must be more like hate. We must be willing to give up everything, to give up even ourselves, our entire selves, to Him. For Christ will have all or nothing. He will never divide the human heart with a rival. If we profess to know Him, we must have Him for our only master and not accept to serve two masters. He must be first in our hearts. This is called the preeminence of Christ. Christ having first place in our heart. In verse 22, we see the rich young man went away sad. His heart was divided. A divided heart will keep us from knowing Him. So the second heart we're going to look at is in John chapter 14. It's Philip, one of the Lord's disciples. Here we see the distracted heart. Little context, Jesus is revealing, here in John 14, is revealing the Father and telling His disciples that He's going away. "I'm leaving." He said, 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." And Thomas says, "Wait a minute, Lord, We do not know where you're going. We didn't even know you were going. How can we know the way? Verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you've known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and have seen him. Verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Judging by Jesus' response there to Philip, I believe Philip was distracted. Jesus didn't focus on what was distracting Philip. He just asked him a question, another question. Have I been with you so long and you do not know me, Philip? Jesus was revealing himself as God to Philip, and Philip was missing it. Philip was listening, but he wasn't hearing Jesus. Speaking of cell phones, have you ever been talking to someone and you're not necessarily looking straight in their eyes, and you're talking, you're thinking you're having a conversation, but you look over and they don't hear you. They are totally distracted. That's what we're seeing here. He is distracted because this wasn't the first time Jesus revealed his deity. He had been revealing himself as God before this. John 12:45 says, and whoever sees me sees him who sent me. And John 10:30, I and the Father are one. Jesus was saying, I am God. Philip was distracted from knowing who Jesus really was. So, are you taking time to know him or who he really is? Are you distracted from the minute you wake up with all you have to get done in a day? Are you distracted with the cares of this life, the riches of this world, toys, stuff? These are not bad in themselves, but when these things take us away from knowing him, they are a distraction. Today, Jesus is clearly revealing himself to us. We know things that Philip and Thomas did not know. True? He really is. In Colossians 1:15, he says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He is the invisible. He is the visible of the invisible God. Colossians 1:19 says, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. God was so pleased with his Son that all of his fullness dwelt in Christ. Hebrews 1:13 says, he is the radiant of the glory of God, the the exact imprint of his nature, and upholds the universe by the word of his power. Jesus is radiant. He displays God's character perfectly and holds the whole universe together by just speaking the word. This is Jesus' personification. This is the personification of Christ. If our heart is not increasingly knowing Christ personified, then we are probably distracted in heart and not hearing him. So the third heart, so we have divided heart, distracted heart. Most of you are awake hearts. Our third is Apostle Paul, formerly known as Saul of Tarsus. Saul was breathing out threatenings against the church and persecuting the church. He became one of the greatest missionaries and greatest preachers of all times. In Philippians 3:10, where we're going next, we see here a devoted heart. Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Paul didn't write this in his condo in Cocoa Beach, Florida. He was in prison in Rome just weeks or days before he would be martyred for Christ. Paul writes, I want to know Christ. Wait a minute. Apostle Paul doesn't know Christ? Paul, for the cause of Christ, he had been shipwrecked, rejected, beaten multiple times, stoned, and left for dead in prison, discouraged to the point of wanting to die. And Paul didn't know Christ. In verse 8, Philippians 3:8 says, indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ my Lord. Paul had given everything up to know Christ. His heart was not divided. It was not distracted. He was desperate to know Christ. Dwight L. Moody said, the world has yet to see what God will do with a man fully consecrated to Christ. I believe Paul had discovered the way to know Christ. And he wanted to know him more. That's what he's talking about here. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, he's letting us in on it. In verse 10, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. As a Christian, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to you, to your mortal bodies, through the spirit who dwells in you. The resurrection power lives inside of every Christ follower in the person of the Holy Spirit. So the power of the resurrection, Paul witnessed more than once physical people, a person being physically raised from the dead. Have you seen someone raised from the dead? I have. Let me tell you a story. Yeah, it's okay, Rob. Be zoomed in. So, it's our stories that bind us together. It's true. It's not our story. It's God's story. It's God's hand in the affairs of men and women. Well, I don't know drinking etiquette. I'm sorry. I don't know. I just need it. I was, when I was 9, my mom passed away. And I was in the best family. Yeah. I was the youngest of 7 children. Had a great home. My father didn't know Christ. My mother did. I didn't know she did. I do now. But he was a good man. He didn't know to engage in my life and talk. The Bible teaches us. So I found my identity in the hippies. I was a hippie. Good people, just misled. Peace, love, turn you on. That is a lie. That's no peace, and that's no love to turn you on drugs. So, any event, to fast forward to 24 and a half years old, from 12 years old, when I became a hippie, we seek our identity. We start firming it up in adolescence. God's design is that through a flourishing, healthy, godly home that we find our identity. We'll find it. But His design is to find it through mom and dad leading us to Jesus. Nevertheless, fast forwarding to 24 and a half years old, I had got a shipment of drugs in, and I didn't know that the guy I got them off of got them off a plane in Bloomington, and they were 95% pure. Never had it that pure. I started doing it, cocaine, on a Friday night. Never went to bed. All day Saturday, never went to bed. Sunday morning, early, I was in trouble. As I was passing out, I cried out to God. Every man knows that there is a God. I didn't know Jesus. There's a God. I said, God, let me wake up. And He did. I don't know if it was Monday. I don't know if it was Tuesday. But I woke up. Here I am. Well, I started getting the urge to go to church. Wasn't church. Church is awesome. We need a community of God. But it says that no man comes to the Father except He draws them through the power of the Holy Spirit. He was drawing me to Himself. I'm not going to church. And I was still sick. I had a sister, a religious freak, that was sending me letters, loving on me. You loving on people? Keep loving the lost. She'd send me a Billy Graham clipping. I would fold it up real neat, and I'd stick them in a drawer. It's kind of orderly. It's ironic. But, excuse me. I remembered her mentioning a church. So, Sunday morning, I was going to go to church. All week I'd fought that. So I got out this letter, Emmanuel Baptist Church, before GPS. I had to really dig to find where Emmanuel Baptist Church was on Stone Crossing and 135. I found it. I was in the parking lot. It's third church. Sign said 10:30. It was 10:35. It was 10:40. There was a battle going on. I was not going in. I went in. Faithful pastor. Every Sunday. Preach the gospel. How Jesus came and died for my sin and for your sin, was buried and rose again the third day, and is seated on high. That upon my faith and trust in that, and that alone, I would be saved. I didn't get saved. But I went back. Why did I go back? There's three things present when someone comes to the Lord, let me tell you. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and the love of God. You'll never beat anybody into salvation. The mercies of God lead to repentance. A church of 300 people, that was a lot to me. I was so insecure, had hair down to my belt, hungover. I could sense the love of God from them. You know what? I can sense the love of God here every week. Someone mentioned family earlier. It is good to be in this family. Well, I went back 3 weeks in a row. And the third week I did pray. And I asked Christ come to my heart. Good Baptist Church. And I went out in the foyer. Pretty good large foyer. And this bubbling guy comes up. Hey, I'm Steve Welch. And I said, I'm Bob Porter. I thought he was going to faint. He kind of turned white. He said, what are you doing here? I said, why? All I knew was I just got saved. That's all I knew. You know, I didn't know all the theology. I didn't know I was washed in the blood. I didn't know he initiated it. I didn't know I was chosen. I didn't know anything, but I knew Jesus. And he said, you live up on Bluff Road? I said, yeah. In the feed store there, a really nice apartment, me and my cats, alone. It turned out to be awesome. But nevertheless, he said, Bob, I've been coming by for 6 months, knocking on your door at least once or twice a month. There's another gentleman, in case you don't know, back then, they would have visitation cards. They'd go out on visitation every Thursday night, and they'd knock on doors. My sister, my beloved sister, who lived in Fishers, turned in my name. Two men were going by for 6 months. Never home. I was getting up late, working late, coming home late. They were far in bed by the time I got home. God came and got me. If I hadn't have been there, I wouldn't believe it either. Now, I'm not trying to tell you I was raised from the dead physically. But I, through the power of the resurrection and the gospel, was raised from the dead spiritually. See if I can find my place here. When we lead someone to Christ, we see them pass from death unto life. We witness the resurrection power spiritually. It's true. I was there. 1 John 3:12 says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." Have you passed from death unto life? If so, are you allowing the Holy Spirit to lead others to Jesus through you? Verse 10, Paul says, "I want to know Christ in the fellowship of his suffering." Fellowship means two fellows in a ship. True. This has the meaning of suffering alongside someone. We experiencing knowing him by walking alongside of another and entering into their suffering with them. That's how we know him. Matthew 25 says, Jesus said, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him saying, "Lord, when did we do these things to you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say unto you, as you did it, Chris, unto one of the least of these, my brothers, you have done it unto me." When we have done it unto others, we have done it unto Christ himself. The King of the universe came into the world not to be served, but to serve others. Lastly, we're coming down the stretch. In verse 10, Paul says, "being made conformable unto his death." This is the how-to now, some application. 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul said, "I die daily." Luke 9:23 says, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Paul knew that in order to know Christ deeply, to know him passionately, to love him completely, he must die to himself and live unto Christ. Are you dead to yourself today? The truth is that most of us are so full of ourselves we can't hardly relate to him. Most of our relationship problems we have are because we love ourselves so much we can't love one another. In closing, are you living for him? Are you walking with him daily, experiencing his love and loving others? Are you completely surrendered to Christ? Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Father, thank you for truth. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Breathe on your word. And we just ask that it would have free reign in all of our hearts. And as the word has come upon us on the outside, the Holy Spirit would change us on the inside. That we would hunger and thirst, passionately love you, and be satisfied with you and you alone. May you meet each person where they're at today. And we'll be careful to give you the glory and the honor. And it's in your King, your Son's name, King Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Why?